This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Christine McIver.
And I'm Vicky Marie Buchanan. So, welcome Christine. Lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Now, you've been in Palmerston North, living in Palmerston North for some years, but before we talk about that, let's go back a little bit and talk about where you were born and your early years.
Right. Well, I was born in Christchurch mm-hmm. in 1948.
Right.
I was born into a family with an older sister mm-hmm. and my dad was a teacher and my mum was a stay-at-home mum.
Right. What school did you go to in Christchurch?
I went to Avonside Girls High School. Mm. And went through to sixth form, mm-hmm. and then I went on to do my tertiary training.
Ah, and your tertiary training was in?
I wanted to become a dental nurse, so I trained in 1967. I started my training.
Oh, okay. So whereabouts was the training?
That was in Christchurch.
Right.
There was a beautiful building in Christchurch in Colombo Street.
Oh, right, central.
Yes, right opposite the Women's Hospital.
Right.
And we, and that was a 2-year training. I started in 1967, and in the first year it was all theory. In the second year, 1968, it was patients from surrounding schools would all come by bus.
Okay, into the area.
Into the school, and we would all, there was 83 of us who trained all at once. It was in those days, it was very big classes.
So they came, all the students came from South Island. Was it the South Island School for the training?
No, it was just the Christchurch schools.
Gosh, so that's huge, isn't it? 83 students.
Oh, no, sorry. It was 83 training to be a dental nurses.
Right.
And they did come from all over the South Island.
Right. Okay, to go out there. So yes. When you say the first year was all theory, tell us a little bit about that. Was that the tooth or the head or the body or the joints?
Yeah, it was head and neck, basically. Right. So you had the anatomy of the whole skull, physiology, and then for the practical side of it, we did soap carving. So we had to carve individual teeth, the jawbone, all that sort of thing, just to get the idea of the basically the anatomy of the tooth structure.
Fascinating, isn't it, really?
And that was done with soap. But in the early days, before my time, they used to do it in wax. But by the time I came, and we took pride in that, they were all polished, and it was all very, very
You don't
very
think
special.
Of it, do you, when you look at a bar of soap?
No, it was... And it really just... because we were carving fillings... Mm. That was the start of being able to do it in a almost like a 3D sort of situation.
Right. Mm. Gosh. Okay. And then once you've got your training, or as in your second year, so then children are coming. Children? Was it just children?
Yes. Patients were coming in from the different schools.
Right.
And some of those schools had their own dental clinics, mm. but a proportion of the children, say up to what is now year six, would come in, and the year sevens and eights would maybe stay, or the other way around, and we would have the older ones and they would do the younger ones in their own school. And so it made up they would have their times to come in, and all the children would come in at one time. And it was quite
so did something. You have you think nowadays with standards and procedures and assessments and things like that, so your I guess, accountability, for want of a different word. Did you have a supervisor that was working with you as you were having those patients in the second year? Or how did it work?
Yes, we had tutor sisters,
right,
and dentists as well.
Ah.
And a lot of them were the dentists who came in. Some of them were the dentists who stayed in the school as a permanent position.
Right.
But others would come as a bonded situation. So
right,
they would come from the dental school in Dunedin,
right,
and they would be bonded for, say, 2 years, and
right,
they would come in and they would supervise. So we would do a preparation of a cavity,
mm,
and then you would put your number up and they would come and check it. So
right,
everything was checked very
right,
carefully,
right,
and the tutor sisters would come, or if it was a little more complicated, the dental officer would come.
Right, yeah, right. So then when you finished your training after the second year, were you bonded to a set school or a hub or anything? Or how did that work?
No, we applied. We were allocated in those days a position.
Mm.
And so, for instance, in my situation, I knew that coming from Christchurch, there was no hope of me getting a job in Christchurch because
right,
it was very, very competitive to
right,
get into
right,
into Christchurch then. And so I sort of thought, oh, I didn't really want to go to Harry or anywhere
yeah, yeah,
that was sort of a little bit isolated.
Yeah.
And so there was about 12 positions, I believe, to go to Auckland.
Mm.
So I opted to go to Auckland. So once I got to Auckland, I had a charge nurse
right,
who for the first year or so would not check everything that I was doing, but just be a support
right,
person there.
So was that scary going from Christchurch to Auckland? You're leaving your family. Is that for the first time? And
yeah, it was for the first time, but
yeah,
it was amazing. I mean,
yeah,
I really enjoyed it and got mm, into the life. And then when the end of that year, we were promised a job back in Christchurch. So
oh,
that
okay,
was kind of the carrot.
Right.
And then I remember the dental nurse inspector who used to come round and check everything, all our records and our filling work
mm,
and everything. I remember her saying, "It's nearly the end of the year, Christine. Do you really want to go back to Christchurch, or would you like to stay here?"
Yeah.
But I actually opted to come back to Christchurch.
Right, right.
Typically South Island born and bred.
Yes, I was just thinking, well, that was the other thing, you know, South Island, Christchurch to Auckland, you know.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a big,
yeah, big changes.
A big thing.
Mm. Mm. Wow, and so then you came back to Christchurch and worked in a school hub there?
Yes, and I had quite a few different clinics mm-hmm, that I was at. I came back and I was on my own at that stage, so no charge nurse to look
mm,
after me. You
mm,
just had to be mm, very organised and do your own appointments and make sure that the children, in those days, they were seen every 6 months, and you had to do the your whole program so that they were all seen in that 6 months, and it was totally expected that's what would be done, and we looked after the children extremely well.
So, and that's really busy because you're doing the admin as well as the
yes,
practical.
everything
wow,
we was done, and mm, there was no, except for preschoolers after school or before school, there was no parental input
mm,
at that
mm,
stage. They signed a consent form right at the beginning
mm,
and that was it.
Mm.
There was no informed consent as such as it is now.
No computers,
so nothing. Everything was done, handwritten, all the charts,
mm,
all our index cards. Once a year we would do this huge annual return so that we would make sure we had got every child in the schools that we were assigned.
Mm.
And
so you were on your own doing that?
Yes.
That's
yes,
pretty lonely too, is it?
Or it was really quite lonely.
Yes.
And so the staff of the school became quite important to you. So
mm,
you'd go over for morning tea
mm,
and have lunch and things like
mm,
that, and become part of their social web as well.
Mm.
Otherwise
mm,
it could be quite lonely.
And when you had a complex case of a little kiddie coming in, what was your support structure then for that?
The only thing that we really had was, and I can't ever remember doing it at this stage. I can in my later career, but I can't remember at the beginning sending them to the hospital for to the dental department at the hospital. But I actually can't remember sort of doing that very often because we were seeing them once every 6 months. Nothing got too out of hand.
Right.
We did used to refer them by a form sent home to the parents about any orthodontic situations that we could see. But apart from that, they seem to...
So, am I hearing too in that situation then that teeth were healthier back then? I mean, we're talking about the 60s, aren't we? 60s, 70s?
70s. 70s at this stage. I do think that there was not as much sugar in diet at this stage.
Fizzy drinks.
And we used to do preventive dentistry. We weren't just being the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff. We were getting it, once again, because of the 6 monthly treatment, you were getting it at the early stages. And so
I remember there were, I think, my kids, and they had little fillings in the, not fillings, but a protective coating over the valley of the molar.
Well, we weren't doing that at this stage. There was no fissure sealants, as they were called. There was nothing like that. So if there was any problem, it was picked up.
So the preventive is more, was it having them regularly cleaning their teeth, watching how it's going?
And going into the school classroom and taking sessions with them to teach them how to clean their teeth. And in those days, it seemed every child had a toothbrush.
Right.
And they had toothpaste.
Yes.
And...
there's no fluoride in water then?
That stage, Christchurch did not have fluoride.
Right.
Other places may well have at that stage, but not Christchurch, yes.
Interesting though, isn't it? The sugar, the impact of sugar, and what you've also said, that children had a toothbrush.
Absolutely, yeah. Two things go hand in hand, basically.
So you were in Christchurch for how long then, working there?
I returned after Auckland in about 1970, and then in 1974 I got married, and we moved to Ashburton.
So you got married. So where did this man walk into your life?
Well, he came down to university in Christchurch, and so we met at a beach mission, which used to happen at Leithfield Beach, just out of Christchurch,
right.
We did some work together, and
love blossomed.
Love blossomed. Yes.
And you got married,
and we got married in Christchurch, moved down to Ashburton, and I got a job in Ashburton, no trouble at all. So that was just almost like a transfer, basically.
Was that like Ashburton Primary or Ashburton School?
Yes, there were several schools in Ashburton, and I did one of the country schools as well that was attached to it. So I got to know Ashburton districts and schools, everything. And then my children were born while we were in Ashburton. Before that, about 1976, I went back to the school, training school in Christchurch, and did my training to be a dental tutor sister. And that was for a whole term.
So did that take you out of the school environment and more into the college?
The college. You trained so that you could be... you could apply for jobs to be a tutor sister in the future. But unfortunately, the Christchurch school closed quite a wee bit after that, but they did close down all the schools, so those sort of jobs were pretty pretty scarce.
And when you'd had 83 students going to train to be a dental nurse, and presumably that was on a regular basis, was that a financial reason to sort of centralise everything, do you think, or why did they decide to close down the schools.
Yes, I think so. And there weren't so many, they weren't accepting so many students. Mm. I mean, when in my day, when I trained in the 60s, we had 83, Auckland had 83, Wellington had 83, mm. plus they had two intakes a year. Mm. So there were a lot of girls, but they were, you know, we would go out and a lot of girls would not continue working for a long time, mm. whereas now they probably mm. stay in their jobs, mm. Take maternity leave and then just come back.
I
mean,
I was just going to say the social issue there was, yes. isn't it? You're having children, having families, yeah. and working from, well, not working from home, but being at home with your family as well,
yeah. mm.
which was a very common thing with women back
yes,
in the 70s,
absolutely.
Wasn't it?
Mm.
Mm. Wow, and so when so you trained to be a tutor sister and then still
and went back to a clinic situation mm. Until we went overseas for mm. two terms mm. Travelled in Europe and mm. Asia and Africa, and then we came back, and in 1978 our first little boy was born mm. and I left dental nursing at that stage, mm. Mm. and I did go on maternity leave for a year, mm. but in those days you weren't paid for it or anything. It was just they left a gap for you so that you could come back, mm. but I didn't really want to come back.
They didn't
that.
Really expect you to go back
no,
either, did
it
they?
Was, I mean, it was just a leeway in case yes. anything happened,
yes.
And you required to go back
yes.
to work.
We all had that, didn't we, back yeah. then in the 70s? Yeah. But, yes, it wasn't expected that we did
no,
go back.
No, so mm. they... and then in 1981, I had my second little boy. Mm. And so I stayed home then to look mm. after the children mm. And returned when the children were at school. Mm. I stayed home for quite some time. Mm. And then I just tried going back to work... an administration job at the mm. Manawatu Polytech. Mm.
Did you enjoy staying home with looking after
the family? I did. We had a really good little group around that we'd been in the hospital with when mm. our children were born, mm. and we developed this little play group that we used to go around homes, mm. and that was really supportive. We mm. were all at the same stage. Mm. We had children who... played together and got on well together, mm. And then gradually we had girls going back to work, mm. And so it would sort of, you know, it petered out mm. a little bit after when mm. the children got to a certain mm. age. But that was a really good help mm. in those days mm. to just enjoy mum's company and mm. and talk about things that you mm. wouldn't talk to other people about.
It was a support network too, mm. doing that, wasn't it? And I think nowadays, I think of my son and daughter-in-law and family, and a lot of their generation too, are all got children in daycares now.
Yeah.
And I think yeah. there's pluses and minuses for all that, but I think the value that we had of being there and having our support network and getting to know your neighbourhood as well,
yes.
socially.
Yes, and friends. You found in those days that there were other neighbours who were staying at home, like you weren't lonely. Mm. You'd go down mm. to the shops with your children or to the library with pushchairs and prams
yes.
and things, and there'd be others doing exactly
yes.
the same.
Yeah.
You didn't feel like you were in a community where... you were the poor one that had to stay home.
No. And I know in our family, they've become lifelong friends too.
Yes.
You know, from
yes.
there. I think that was a very valuable time in our generation. And, of course, every generation has its challenges. But
right.
Yeah, I think they're fond days. Mm. Mm. Oh, so then you... so you were at home with children, and I always think that's a very valuable time too. I think motherhood is not to be undervalued, and the gift that we give to our kids
right.
growing up in that time. So then you returned to work at some stage?
Yes, so I went and did the administration job at the Manawatu Polytech, and mm. while I was there was a lovely lady I was in the part where we would do all the photocopying for the lecturers, and there were the graphic artists were there, and it was just a wonderful big sort of like a workshop really. And it was a central hub, a little bit like the kitchen in a big organisation. Everybody comes in because it's kind of nice. And I had this lovely lady came from Wellington, and she was a journalist, and she got talking to me. And she actually challenged me about going and returning to my career.
Yeah.
And I thought about it, and I thought, oh, it means... At that stage, it was just the Wellington School that was open, and there was just a very few students there training, and you went back there. And so I thought, oh, will I? And then I thought, yes, I really, really want to do that. So I returned to the training school.
Good on you. So that was the gap that you'd had from when you'd left for children, travel, children, right, and everything. How many years was that gap?
It was quite a substantial, it was over 10 years.
Yeah.
So my oldest child would have been at intermediate. And so it was a huge change, because by now the course had changed.
Yes.
And you weren't just training for a certificate, you were training for a diploma, which meant that you were then having to sort of follow almost assignments at university level. Now, of course, in 2023, it's actually a degree, a double degree that the students are coming out with. So, you know, things have changed.
So the training's changed massively.
Yes.
Also, you're now in the Manawatū. You've gone from...
I'm in the Manawatū.
...to Manawatū. Yes. So tell us a little bit about that.
And so, yeah, so it was... really convenient for me to go to Wellington from Manawatū.
What brought you to Manawatū?
My husband was a teacher at that time, and so he got a promotion as head of science, and at one of the local schools here at Queen Elizabeth College, and so we moved as a family, and the children, my eldest was six, and and my youngest was four, so. They went to the oldest one went to a little primary school here, and the youngest one was at kindy. So it wasn't a hard, and with my church associations as well, it wasn't a hard change from being in a little place to being in the Manawatū.
Was Palmerston North a little place? The same sort of size as Ashburton?
No, it was bigger. It was a lot bigger, a lot bigger. It was about 75,000 in those days. And so, and also my husband had been brought up in a farming area, just in Apiti, just out of Fielding. So it was bit home for him. And so we had family here as well. So that was...
and also, again, we've got the children at school and kindy and things, so you're networking with, again, through the kids.
Yes, and we both got very involved with the school setting, Ian on the PTA, and then when Tomorrow Schools came in, I was on the board at the school that the children were at, and that was it was rewarding.
Yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
And so the journalist challenged you, and then started a new challenge for you to going back into training. And again, that was so now we're into the 80s doing that.
We're into the 90s, 1995.
Right.
I went back.
Okay, so. That was a challenge for a woman, to having been at home with the family, to then go back into the workforce. It wouldn't have been an easy decision.
It was assignments that had to be done, and I had to travel, so I would catch the early train on Monday morning, and I had some lovely friends in Wellington, so I boarded with them during the week, and so... my husband had to look after the children and get them organised with all their different things that they had from
school.
That was hard for
the family, for your family unit.
Yes.
How long was that training?
It was 3 months
right.
For me. Some of them, it it was because of the length of time that I'd been away. There was either an 8 week or a 12 week, and so I went for the 12 week time, so that I could just catch up with everything. I mean, so many things had changed. High speed drills was the norm, whereas they were only just coming in when I left. We were wearing masks and gloves. The anaesthetics were so much more sophisticated. So things, really, the filling materials were just, everything was encapsulated, and the difference was chalk and cheese to what I had been trained in. But it was such a lot of fun. I really enjoyed being a student again.
Yes.
And just the challenge of it all was just really great.
And going back to your passion and working in your passion.
Absolutely. When I think about, why I really wanted to be a dental nurse in the first place, and it was right from a very early age when I just fell in love, really, with the dental nurse at school and just loved her whole demeanour, the white uniform, the very starched uniform, just about stood up on its own, and the veil and the red cardi and, everything that went with it, the lovely smells and everything. I'm sure people just hate that, but I loved it.
Oh, it's a lovely time. And key people influence us, don't
exactly,
they, in our life decisions.
Exactly.
How lovely. Let's pick up on a bit more of that next week. But lovely to catch up on all that and hear that story.
This is part one of two. Listen next week for part two.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.